DiscerningHearts.com presents Inside the Pages, insights from today's most compelling authors. I'm your host, Chris McGregor, and I'm delighted to be joined by Anne Engelhardt, who's a watercolor artist and illustrator. She has taught art in Catholic education for many years and currently teaches painting classes in her home studio on Long Island, New York. Her portraits and illustrations are exhibited in galleries and private collections in New York and Connecticut. With Anne Engelhardt, we go inside the pages of Be Saints, an invitation from Pope Benedict XVI, published by Ignatius Press. Anne, thank you so much for joining me.
I'm delighted to talk with you. Thank you for inviting me.
Be Saints is just a phenomenal book for, I would say, not only for kids, but also for adults. Beautiful job.
Oh, thank you so much. And I'm really glad you said that, because it's the second book that I've done, actually, with Amy Wellborn for children that dealt with meetings that the Pope had with children. And our hope really was to speak to the children, but also to speak to their parents, because we thought that there's a lot of richness in what he says that can be appreciated on many levels. So we really hoped that it would touch the adults, too.
Oh, you've got a great collaborator when you're working with Amy Wellborn.
Yeah, certainly. I'm really very fortunate, you know, that to be able to work with her. She's obviously a very talented person and really an extraordinary person.
But also a significant collaborator on this is the Holy Father himself, Pope Benedict.
Yeah.
Talk to us about how this came to be, this particular work.
Yeah. When Pope Benedict went to England about 2 years ago, as always, whenever the Pope travels, he tries to find time to meet with children and young people. And he gave this really beautiful and encouraging message to kids in who met at St. Mary's College in London. And the whole thrust of it was about being a saint, wanting to be a saint. He invited them, actually, to become the saints of the 21st century. And when I heard that, I just thought, you know, that would really be a beautiful children's book. And so Amy and I had collaborated previously, and the publisher immediately thought, yeah, let's do it. So we were really delighted to be able to turn it into a picture book.
More than just a picture book, I mean, it's something that's really quite a wonderful work of art. There's something that the Holy Father has always emphasized in his teaching is the importance of beauty. And I think with your work, you've really been able to open that up for kids as well as adults in showing us how you can teach even in the context of that beauty.
Well, you know, it's interesting, because I would have to say that what really attracted me to Pope Benedict's writings and his teaching was his discussion of beauty. You know, it spoke to me as an artist, and frankly, I had never really read any theological works or anything like that, but I had noticed that he would speak about it frequently, and so I started to read his books, and there absolutely is a real emphasis on beauty and art, and, you know, how we can use that as a tool to evangelize.
Talk to us about how the saints were selected that appear in this book.
Yeah, well, because the original publisher, Catholic Truth Society, is a British publisher, and they have a relationship with Ignatius Press, who brought it to the United States, and since the Pope was visiting England, we did want to include some English saints. And, of course, when Pope Benedict went to England, he was there ostensibly to beatify John Henry Newman, so we began with a quote from John Henry Newman, "Praise to the holiest in the height, and in the depth be praise, and all his works, words most wonderful, most sure in all his ways," which is a beautiful hymn that he composed. We also wanted to include some saints that the kids could relate to. So we have saints and blesseds, people who are, of course, on their way to becoming saints. So people like Blessed Pier Giorgio Frassati, who was a young saint and an athlete, and I think kids can really relate to him. Blessed John Paul II, St. Thomas More, who was a great hero in the English Church, and really the whole church, Mother Teresa, St. Francis, St. Ignatius, who was the patron saint of teachers and students and, you know, schools, and since there was a real emphasis on pupils in this book, we thought that would be appropriate. And then, of course, St. Peter and also St. Paul.
And it's not just about the life of a saint as much as it is and how to develop different aspects of the Christian formation, as in the virtues, and explores topics like happiness. It's a bit more and a bit deeper, and kids can handle that, can't they?
You know, they really can. That's kind of a hallmark also, I think, of Pope Benedict in the way he speaks to young people. He really doesn't talk down to them. You know, he speaks to them on their level, but he challenges them. And, yeah, he really talks to them about, you know, he asks them, what kind of person would you like to be? And then he shows them that anyone can be a saint by growing in holiness, by putting God at the center of their lives. He says we all want to find happiness, but we have to learn how to find it outside of the ways in which our culture often defines it, which would be through money or careers or fame, etc. True happiness is found by having the courage to place our hopes in God alone. Only He can satisfy the deepest needs of our hearts. and He shows us how they can practice the virtues of compassion and charity and in their education. And He says how, you know, Catholic education can really help educate the whole person through their intellect, their culture, morals, faith, etc.
Talk to us about why it's important that not only children, but we as adults need to develop relationships with the saints. I mean, we can go to stores and learn about theology. We can go to the library and get books that can teach us the different concepts. But what is it about the saints that's so important to our formation?
You know, and we tried to show this, I think, in the book. You know, there is a saint for everyone. Mm-hmm. There are just so many different qualities and gifts that these extraordinary people possess, that there's something, you know, we can find in one of them that we can use as an inspiration. I know the Pope often talks about his favorite saints, like Augustine and Aquinas, and he always refers to them as his friends. Mm-hmm. So I think we can think of it in that way, that they're like kind of a companion, you know. And they've always gone through difficult trials, and they've been able to, you know, keep the faith. And, of course, they can intercede for us with the Lord when we pray. And so they could be a really tremendous guide in our lives.
I'm just curious, Anne, in your work, I mean, have you done other children's books?
Yes, I have. Another book that I did on a completely different subject. Believe it or not, it has to do with composting. Mm-hmm. It was called The Dirt Maker, and it was just about children and learning in the garden. I didn't write it, you know, I illustrated the book. I'm actually almost finished a book that Amy and I are working on, two more books. Mm-hmm. And this one that we're just completing is a Christmas-themed book. It'll be out next year. And I've also worked on other secular topics. I did another one having to do with child and the garden. And so, you know, there's a real variation, but I really am blessed to be able to do these books that have to do with the faith and being able to kind of virtually collaborate with Pope Benedict. Mm-hmm. Has been really an extraordinary gift for me personally. And just hope that, you know, we're able to have the opportunity for people to discover the richness of our faith and the beauty of our faith through his teaching.
I'm just wondering, in your observation with that artist's eye of yours, and particularly since you, the genre of the children's book and illustrating for them, what do you see in the landscape that you encounter in that secular arena and what's being offered to children today?
I don't remember where I heard this, but just recently I heard something or read something about how children's books, they're not so interested right now, a lot of publishers, in books that have great depth. they are more interested in just kind of fun, you know, more superficial topics. I guess mm-hmm. people just really don't want, people don't necessarily want to be challenged in that way, you know, in terms of their, in terms of ethics, sadly. At least, I don't believe that's true. I think people do want to be challenged in that way, but for some reason, just like in television and film, in all media, there has become kind of a, I don't know, a dumbing down, I suppose you could say, you know, of entertainment. I don't know, perhaps it has something to do with the stimulation, you know, they're so used to with video games and all those kinds of things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe it's harder for kids to, maybe they just get more, you know, bored more easily. But there is obviously a real thirst out there, and that's why I think it's so important that we do these kinds of things. We've gotten such a beautiful response to parents and grandparents about the books, and I've presented them in schools, and the kids ask the most amazing questions, and they seem to really be touched by, you know, the message that Pope Benedict has for them. And so we know that there's a thirst. You know, we just have to try to keep getting it out to them.
Well, yours is not an animated art. I mean, it's not the type of art that's so simplistic in its nature that a lot of kids have gotten used to. And they're not really exposed to beautiful portrayals that's done in the type of media that you use.
Yeah, I guess things, well, first of all, so much graphic design is computer generated, so it has a different look to it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It is, as you said, it's just much more simplistic. It's almost cartoon-like. And the way I paint, I mean, I also do portraits and landscapes and things, you know, in addition to illustrations. So my style of painting is kind of consistent in my illustration. And so, yeah, I mean, I get a little carried away.
No, that's all right.
I love to, you know, get into detail and
uh-huh.
really explore, you know, with the paint. So, yeah, I guess it might be a little of a throwback for some people. I've heard some people say it reminds them of the kind of work they saw, you know, a long time ago, you know. I love watercolor as a medium. It's a challenging medium, but I don't know. Kids are really great when they see the paintings. They get very excited about them, and they say, "You really did that?"
Mm-hmm.
You know. So I you know, I'm attracted to beauty. So I try very hard to really explore that in the work that I do.
Well, I think it's absolutely wonderful. There's a richness to it that I think we all should be exposed to. And ultimately, art can be used to evangelize our culture, can it?
Absolutely. Yeah, I think it always has been used to evangelize the culture. You know, from the very beginning, our churches were always filled with symbols. And, you know, it's, as a matter of fact, if you don't mind, I'll read you a little quote I have here. At the in the compendium of the Catechism that was mm-hmm. put out a number of years ago, Pope Benedict wrote an introduction to it, and he personally selected images, paintings, to use throughout the book that he felt were really important. And he said, a sacred image can express much more than what can be said in words, and can be extremely effective and dynamic way of communicating the gospel message. Sacred images proclaim the same gospel message that the sacred scriptures transmit through words, and they can help reawaken and nourish the faith of believers. So, you know, art touches us on a different level, kind of a personal level, and it can say, you know, with one simple image can really express a lot. So, not that I don't claim to be on the level of some of the great, you know, Christian artists throughout history. But I do try very much in the paintings that I do and in the illustrations to put a lot of information in there, because kids sometimes like to just dwell on the pictures, and sometimes they'll read it a second time, a third time, and discover something new each time. So I try to have a lot of little surprises, if you will, in there for the kids. And it just seems to reinforce the words.
Well, it plants that evocative seed. Something that's evocative, it just kind of stays with you. The image stays with you for a long time. So much of what we see now and what our kids see are so flat that if you ask them anything about a book or a television program or whatever it might be, they are pressed to recall it even an hour later. But now, with something like this, this is the kind of book that you would have not only in the child's library, but in the family library for many years, and it will hold up with time. And I think that's the great value in having works like this.
Oh, well, thank you. I really hope that's the case. I think kids deserve beautiful things, and adults do too. And I think it's important, really important, when the church does anything, that it be done well, that it be done with beauty, whether it's the liturgy, whether it's, you know, music, whether it's, architecture. It should be done as well as it can possibly be done. You know, and like you said, it's evocative, and the image stays with you, and that's what we want. You know, unfortunately, there's a lot of, it's kind of like junk food, you know.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot out there that's kind of satisfying initially, but then it doesn't really last. So, I mean, I certainly would hope to be able to contribute to that. That was really what Amy and I were hoping to do with these books.
You spoke of the Christmas book that you're working on for next year. Anything else in the hopper, especially between you and Amy Welburn?
We have, I guess I'm allowed to say this, we have the Christmas book about a child who is making a little nativity, and he kind of grows through the experience of making his little nativity. And we're also working on something having to do with Assisi and St. Francis. So that's another project down the road. We have a million ideas.
I bet you do.
We just have to, kind of rein them in a little bit. But, it's, you know, Amy's just, as I told you earlier, she's wonderful to work with, and I'm just very fortunate to be able to collaborate with her.
Well, it's so important. As we talked about earlier, the lives of the saints and their relationships with us, it's something that we really need to foster throughout our entire lives. But planting those seeds for children is just so vital, isn't it?
It really is. I can remember when my son was preparing to receive the Sacrament of Confirmation, and he was deciding on a patron saint, and a name, actually.
Mm-hmm.
He spent a lot of time. He really got into it. He went online and looked up all the different saints till he found something that really touched him in a way. And I think it really made an impression on him. I hope that he still finds him to be a guide, in his life. And, it's definitely something we need to foster. There are so many beautiful, beautiful lives that we can learn from, as I said earlier, regardless of the situations that we've been dealt in our life, there's somebody there who can help us, to get through. And they've had some really exciting lives too, some of them much more simple. And I think what Pope Benedict is trying to say is that you don't necessarily have to be, this great hero. You can achieve holiness in the simple things that you do in your life. And as we said earlier, the practice of virtue and how you will want to do good things. You will want to practice virtue after you put God at the center of your life. Mm. And being close to the saints can help you in that quest.
Anything surprise you? I mean, any saint surprise you as you worked on this?
Let's see. Well, you know, what we did was, just to be clear, we have little quotes, you know, from the saints, and each of the quotes relate in some way to what Pope Benedict was discussing at that time. So we don't necessarily delve deeply into the life of the saint. It's more like a little message. Mm-hmm. I guess I'm just, you know, something like what Mother Teresa said, which is just so simple and beautiful. She says, if you have a sick or a lonely person at home, be there. Maybe just to hold a hand. Maybe just to give a smile. That is the greatest and the most beautiful work. So that's such a simple, beautiful thing for her to say. You know, we don't have to go out there and, fight dragons. Mm-hmm. We can just hold the hand of somebody who needs us. And so I guess that is a bit of a surprise when you realize that you can do it every day, wherever you are at that moment, you know. You can really try to be on the way to becoming a saint.
Your affection for Pope Benedict comes through in how you describe him and what he is, the gift that he has for us and the message that he's conveying. He's quite a remarkable pontiff, isn't he? It surprised me. How about you?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And again, as I told you earlier, I kind of had a little epiphany, I suppose you could say, after it was when John Paul II died and then Pope Benedict was elected. It was such a big news story that it attracted my attention. And to be very honest, I wasn't really paying a lot of attention to the Pope or to, you know, really deep matters dealing with our faith. I guess my faith was probably a little more superficial. And I just think, for me, he really has become like a little guide, you know, a little mm-hmm. spiritual director, I suppose. Mm-hmm. Because, yeah, he is extraordinary. I mean, his brilliance, obviously. But yet, you know, just even to see the way he is with children, he's like a little grandfather, you know, very gentle and obviously is delighted to be with them. I think I've heard people say that they say that he's like this great, you know, brilliant man, but he still has like the heart of a kid on his first Holy Communion. You know, he's mm-hmm. he's got that, those, it's kind of unusual sometimes to see somebody who is an extraordinary talent, brilliant, but still have that humility, you know. So it's kind of a unique combination, and I think that's what really touches people. That combination. He's a tremendous gift to the church, no question about it.
Yeah, I was very familiar with him through his writings, of course, and I thought, oh, wow, what an extraordinary scholar we're going to have as a Holy Father. And it wasn't until his trip to America, and there was one scene where he visited children who had extreme disabilities.
Oh,
my gosh, the look on his face and the tenderness. And ever since then, I've been a little bit more adept at picking that up when I've seen it in his interactions with children. He does have that tenderness that comes from someone who's encountered Christ and conveys that to all of us. I bring that up is because I think you even capture that in your illustration right there on the cover of the book.
Oh, thank you. That's really what I was trying to do, to show, because it sort of has that almost, I wouldn't say shy, but that sort of gentle, you know, demeanor that he has, but yet also showing the warmth and the affection. And, I remember that, you know, very well, that trip. And he also, for me, I think it was when I saw him meet with children who had received their first Holy Communion. That was actually the subject of our first book, mm-hmm. which is called Friendship with Jesus. And the kids asked him questions about his first communion, and they really asked him the kind of questions that everybody has. Mm-hmm. And his response to them was so natural, and, you know, he laughed and was really charmed by the kids, but then was able to give them real pearls of wisdom in his answers that really touched them. So, yeah, I think, you know, there is definitely people who get to know Pope Benedict, people who observe him or read him, develop a tremendous affection for him. And also, I think they appreciate the sacrifice of being the Pope. I mean, you know, I can't even begin to imagine what it must be like to be the pastor of the world, you know.
Yeah, I don't think we had a sense of it until really, I mean, we might have gotten glimpses of it from the pontificate of John Paul, but with the new media that's out there in the 24/7 cycle that is so intense, I mean, we really get to see the microscope that they're under and experience that. But I just think, and that wonderful universal call that he, that clarion to be saints, and the wonderful work that not only you and Engelhardt as the illustrator for this work, but the wonderful Amy Welburn as the editor. It's a gift not only to our kids, but to all of us of any age who are people in the church.
Thank you. I really hope that, you know, that families are heartened by it, and you know, that it can really be the beginning of their relationship with the saints, and that it can be a real inspiration for them in their lives.
Great. Thank you so much, Anne.
Thank you, Chris. It was really delightful talking with you today.
With Anne Engelhardt, we've gone inside the pages of Be Saints, an invitation from Pope Benedict XVI. To learn more about this book or to obtain a copy, go to Ignatius.com, the website for its publisher, Ignatius Press, or you can find it at any fine Catholic bookstore. To hear and or to download this discussion along with many others, go to DiscerningHearts.com. This has been a production of DiscerningHearts.com. I'm your host, Chris McGregor. Join me next time for Inside the Pages, insights from today's most compelling authors.